You are listening to Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio, brought to you by M Relevance, because all of your marketing should be relevant. And now, here are today's hosts.
Good morning and welcome back to the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show. I am your host, Todd Schneck, joined by my friend and colleague, Todd Youngblood, and Delaney Langston's also in the house. Todd, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing real good. We got a great guest to lead off today. Say hello to Jennifer Crosby, who is the president and CEO of the Crosby Design Group. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thanks for making time to join us. Jennifer, before we get into your design work, take a quick second. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I'm an Atlanta native, and I went to the Art Institute of Atlanta, graduated back in 1992, so I'm telling my age.
Outstanding. I'm making the calculations.
I know. So telling you how many years I've been in this industry. So I've started my company back in 2000, and it started back in 2000 with builder groups and residential single-family townhomes, and then I developed in from there to a model home company, and then it's kind of taken its own leap into commercial throughout the years and student housing.
Okay. So you've done the Crosby Design Group now, is opened in 2000.
Correct. It started off as Design Classique, and we are currently doing business as Crosby Design Group.
All right, Jennifer, I'm trying to get a feel for what kinds of housing you're designing. It sounds like it's a pretty broad spectrum.
It is. We work with various builder groups in Atlanta. So from custom level groups, we work with Jim Chapman Fine Homes, Rockhaven, and then we are in-house for the Providence Group. I mean, Providence Group right now currently has almost 20 subdivisions. So we have actual designers that go and work within the design center and facilitate the homeowner selections. And so we do all the specifications and all the interior and exterior specifications for all the houses. And that's true for all the other builders also. Stonecrest Homes, Tim Allen Homes, John Vickers. So we work with quite a few in Atlanta.
Jennifer, a lot of designers out there, a lot of them say that they can design both residential and commercial, but you have a very, very specific two separate practices on these two. Talk about that and why that's so important.
Well, you know, in the industry especially, you know, there's designers that all go through school. So everyone that works at Crosby Design Group has a background degree from an accredited school. FIDR accredited is really important. So with that said, there's two different avenues that a lot of designers take. One that wants to do CAD, which is the computer-aided drafting and construction documents. And then one that's more into the visual of fabrics and furniture and that side. So it kind of migrates to two different entities. And so for the designers that we have in the actual office, basically we have the residential side that those designers are more out in the field and do less behind their computer, if you will. And then the designers that are the commercial side work, we upload our drawings on top of the architectural backgrounds. And then we space plan and do all the electrical design, all the ID documents, which are the interior design documents for the multifamily building.
Is there any crossover? How much crossover is of the skill sets from the residential group to the commercial group?
There's definitely, everyone has, you know, certain crossovers, but it's that the designers on the residential side really are not as inclined to want to do the CAD. And that's pretty much the real difference. Both, you know, have the ability to do FF&E, which is the furniture for the spaces, whether it's model home. I have a model home company that I started based on all the builders and clubhouses for the models, for the amenity areas needing furniture. And I didn't want the developer to outsource it somewhere else. So I was able to create that as part of our add value, basically.
Jennifer, my father-in-law is Frank Lloyd Wright nut and is so knowledgeable on design and architecture. You would have a very different conversation with him starting a project than you would say with Todd or I, who know nothing about this. So talk about your process and your procedure and how you work with homeowners.
Homeowners, you know, the biggest thing is you want to understand what their design intent is and how is their lifestyle. So for a homeowner and their needs, we would first want to have them at the meeting bring in whether it's something from their house that they're going to be bringing to their new home, or house, which is a website-based, you know, idea, if you will. A lot of times we have them kind of search house for ideas and concepts that they love, and those concepts we ask that they bring us, whether it's on their iPad or a printed version, so that we can land immediately on what's going to make their new home their exact dream. And so from there, and then for commercial, it's considered programming. So we would meet with the owner, developer, and say, you know, what are the needs of the space? Who are the demographics? And then from there, historically, we've done enough projects that we kind of can bring also to the table our opinions of that and collaborative efforts of these are the things we recommend. This is what we see for student housing. This is what we see for multifamily in town, that type thing.
All right. We'll be back with Jennifer Crosby after this short commercial break.
Great news stories don't just happen. They are the result of cultivating relationships with the media. Public relations is a great way to add excitement to your marketing program, while also creating third-party credibility. With decades of experience of working with the media online and offline, the Marketing Relevance team is uniquely positioned to deliver your company's stories. Call us today at 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Jennifer Crosby, President and CEO, Crosby Design Group.
Jennifer, if I had any design skills, which I don't,
sure
I think it would be most fun to work on a model home, because that's something, it's not really for any specific individual, and
right.
I could really apply my own creativity. Just talk, I mean, is that true?
That's true, it's true, yes, because, you know, with both sides of the company, that is the one thing that all the designers really want to have their hands in, are the models, because it's something that you get to create, you know, always their budgets. Everybody would love if there weren't, but you get to really create a concept and then facilitate it throughout the whole house and kind of do a dream idea and a theme through it. So yeah, that's definitely by far probably the best escape you can get.
Well, speaking of model homes and design centers, what are the latest trends there?
Latest trends, we're actually working right now with the Providence Group. They're building a new design center. It's going to be state of the art. We've been talking also with Beazer Homes about possibilities of some new sales centers for them. A lot of what we're seeing is the idea of paperless. Everything's moving more towards technology. The iPad, the touchscreen, you know, in properties up to this point, you see a lot of the, you know, static boards where you have all the points of interest or the builder stories, and that's kind of moving all to a touchscreen, and everything is becoming more virtual. So that's the biggest movement towards it. And also making those centers have a real departure from the, you know, the norm. So upgrades and what can you dream of, and let those become a possibility for your own home. That's the biggest direction that we're seeing.
Yeah, you've just talked about how you work with builders, and earlier you talked about how you work with homeowners. Talk mm-hmm. about getting that whole group together. I imagine there's a whole different dynamic if it's just the homeowner, just the builder, or if you have them as a group.
Well, have them as a group sometimes, but the builder, for those kind of type things, the homeowners would already be under contract. So the agents would identify, hey, we've just put a house under contract and their due diligence period is, you know, this. We need you to meet with them inside of 2 weeks. And then we work on getting the homeowner scheduled inside of what the builders have already pre-approved as the customization and or standards. And then we meet with the buyer and we meet with the homeowner and go through all of their selections. But it's the paper trail that's the biggest part, is recording all the information and then getting it out through the process. That each builder has kind of a different process, but getting it back into the field so that their selections could actually be built. That's probably key, because, you know, you're only as good as how well you're able to record your information, really. So that's probably the biggest link together between the builder and the homeowner.
Jennifer, it's October 4th. We're deep into fall. Any design trends and tips to doctor up the house in the fall season?
There are. A lot of it's paint. My whole office yesterday, they were at ADAC for a seminar on the latest and greatest trends. But a lot of what we're seeing is paint techniques of how does paint make you feel and express your different moods. And a lot of what they were saying yesterday is that, I don't know if you've noticed the trend of kitchens going really white, that crisp, clean white. And the norm used to be 10 years ago, everybody having kind of the tone-on-tone colors throughout your house. And now it's much more of a light gray palette. And they're saying it has to do with the fact that the economy was so suppressed and everyone's on a more careful, conservative mode, and they want that quiet still, if you will. And so that's kind of the trend that's led itself to more of a clean palette. Bright colors are also real popular, but the warmer tones, I think, for the fall would be huge. You can make a room look different in 2 seconds with new color on the wall.
Well, it's really interesting mm-hmm. that you went right to paint, because what's mm-hmm. sticking in my head is a comment you made earlier about a budget. I know if I'm mm-hmm. decorating something or building mm-hmm. something, I'm always going to, you know, I'm going to have the 100. Yeah, the numbers are going to be, I'm going to want what's going to cost twice my budget.
Right.
And paint, I think, would be one example of something that's relatively inexpensive I can do with a dramatic change. What other kind of things can I do on a budget?
On a budget. Well, that's the key to it also with having student housing background as well as models is, you know, how do you make it look fantastic on a budget? But a lot of it is finding one or two, maybe three key pieces of furniture, whether those are the special pieces and build around it, whether you buy something. We do a lot of thrift store buying too and then repurpose it because that's the way you get something really unique and your cost is okay. It's more labor intensive, but you're not paying, you know, a fortune for something that has some background to it. And then you repurpose it. And we have some great fabricators that help us with that so we can kind of recreate anything.
All right. Well, Jennifer, I hate to say it. We're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and where can they learn more about the Crosby Design Group?
They can visit our website at crosbydesigngroup.com. We're also on Facebook and they can reach out to me directly at my email at jennifer@crosbydesigngroup.com.
All right. And hint, you need to go to Youngblood's house and he needs your help.
I'm all about it.
All right. Jennifer Crosby, the president and CEO of Crosby Design Group. It's great to have you. Thanks for stopping
by. Thank you so much. Nice to meet you guys.
It was a pleasure. All right. The deal of the day is next, but stick around for our final segment with special guest Lisa Anders. We'll be right back.
Hey, Forrest, what time is it?
Well, Delaney, it's time for today's deal of the day.
All right, Carol, what have you got for us?
Well, Todd, I have a question for you. Are you ready for some football?
I am ready. Man, I am ready, too.
You're ready for some football. All right. So, you know, we're in the midst of football season, and Curly Family Homes has an MVP program for realtors. It's good through December 31st, and it's really cool. So, a first down is you sell one Curly Family Home, and you score $500. Your second down is you sell two Curly Family Homes, and you score $1,000.
That's an additional $1,000. It's not $1,000 total. So it's $500 and then $1,000?
Correct.
Okay. That's $1,500. I'm counting.
For your third down, you sell three Curly Family Homes and score $1,500.
Wow.
And then as the touchdown, if you sell four Curly Family Homes, you score $2,500.
That's outstanding.
That's a lot of money.
I love the incentives that these guys do for the realtor.
Well,
it's such an important strategy.
And I like the way it built. I mean, it's not 500, 500, 500. It's 500, 1,000, 1,500, 2,500. Can anybody add all that up?
Nope.
No, we don't add. But they've got 20 communities in the metro area, priced from the 130s to the low 300s. So they've got some really cool amenities in those communities as well as far as interior appointments. Delaney, would you like to share what some of those are?
They offer arch doorways, built-in bookshelves along the fireplaces, butler's pantries. Obviously, the fireplaces are always a bonus during this time of year. Owner's suites with walk-in closets and sitting rooms. And then all of their homes are backed by the 210 home buyer's warranty.
Nice. But 20 communities, so you probably have a pretty respectable choice on locations.
Oh, yeah. Cobb, Cherokee, North Fulton, South Fulton, Paulding, and Douglas. So all over the place.
That's awesome. And you have till December 31st.
Till December 31st.
I'd be all over that one.
Yeah. So realtors need to, you know, jump out there and go sell some Curly Family Homes.
Outstanding. Well, where can they go to get more information on this?
Well, they can go to curlyfamilyhomes.com and Curly is spelled K-E-R-L-E-Y. So curlyfamilyhomes.com.
Outstanding. All right. That wraps today's deal of the day. All right, and we're back with our next guest. Say hello to Lisa Anders, the Executive Director of Explore Gwinnett, the tourism agency for Gwinnett County. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. Thanks for making time to join us, Lisa. Before we get into Explore Gwinnett, take a quick second, tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Well, I'm actually a Tennessee native. I grew up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and attended University of Tennessee at Knoxville. So I'm the rare show of orange in a red state here. But I've worked in hospitality pretty much my whole life, starting off in the Chattanooga Choo Choo in high school and college. And lived in Knoxville after I graduated from college and then moved to Atlanta, just like everyone else, kind of deciding what to do with their lives. And have been in the hospitality and the tourism ever since then and joined the Convention and Visitors Bureau in 1996, right as the Olympics was in the heat of taking off. So it was a trial by fire, but it was great experience. And I'm just propelled Gwinnett's growth from a small area with 40 hotels, and now we have a convention center and a baseball stadium and 100 hotels. So it's been a lot of change, but it's been pretty exciting.
So tell us a little bit more about Explore Gwinnett.
Well, Explore Gwinnett, that's our marketing name. We're officially the Gwinnett Convention and Visitors Bureau. And basically, we are Gwinnett's what they call destination marketing organization. Our job, basically, we joke around and we say it's to put heads in beds. And that's pretty true. But you can't, you know, people aren't drawn to an area from a hotel or to a hotel. So we have salespeople who work to bring in conventions, meetings, family reunions, sporting tournaments, you name it. We're really fortunate to have great facilities in Gwinnett that allow us to do that. But then we also work with our destinations and our attractions, like our downtown cities. We've got some great downtown cities that are really drawing in a lot of cool and unique things. We've got the Gwinnett Braves, the Gwinnett Gladiators. And then we're really kind of fortunate with our location because we're close to Stone Mountain and we're close to Lake Lanier and we're close to Chateau Alon. They're not necessarily in our area, but it draws our visitors there. And we have a reputation as a really family-friendly and value destination. So we're able to kind of draw from Atlanta and from north and south and east and west. So it's a pretty exciting thing we're doing. It's a job where literally every day is something different.
Talk a little bit about a family that's going to go on a vacation mm-hmm. somewhere. And if somebody's thinking of the southeast, they're probably thinking of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. What would be the couple of three things that would make Gwinnett more attractive than really focusing on Atlanta?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is when we go out and we sell ourselves as Gwinnett, we always tie ourselves into Atlanta. Some people don't do that because they sort of feel protective of their identity. But we realize that, you know, when people are thinking about coming to Duluth, they think they're coming to Atlanta. You know, it's just that their friends, their family, their sister-in-law, that baseball tournament that they're going to, whatever happens to be there. So we really tie ourselves into Atlanta because our visitors, they're going to enjoy everything in Gwinnett, but they're also going downtown. They're going to the aquarium. They're going to World of Coke. We work with both of those attractions quite a bit. But the things that really draw people are it has a really good reputation for safety. It has a great reputation for accessibility because it's so easy. Even though we have obviously a reputation for traffic, as long as you're not going to Atlanta at 8 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you can zip in between Gwinnett and Atlanta in 25 minutes. And I do it every single day. So the accessibility and kind of the value and the safety are the biggest things that draw the families there. And just so many times they're going for sporting tournaments where, you know, their kid is playing in the regional Little League baseball tournament or something, and they're there for 3 or 4 days.
All right. We'll be back with Lisa Anders after this short commercial break.
When was the last time you browsed the web from your mobile phone? With more consumers than ever searching for your business on the go, it's important that you make a great first impression. Make sure your website is making the most of your mobile presence with content designed uniquely for smartphones and tablets. Get started with the team at Marketing Relevance today. Call 770-383-3360 or visit marketingrelevance.com.
All right, and we're back with Lisa Anders, the Executive Director of Explore Gwinnett.
So Lisa, we understand that the new home starts in Gwinnett are now outpacing all the other counties in the Metro Atlanta area, which is fabulous. Tell us a little bit about what the charm and appeal of the different cities in Gwinnett is.
Well, I think there's so many things that are drawing people. A lot of times we'll have people come into our office and they've heard one really good thing about Gwinnett. They've heard that the school system is great, that the weather is good, or they've read something great in Money Magazine or USA Today about a city or a town like Suwanee or Duluth that was named as one of the top places to live. So that's really seems to be what's driving people. And the cool thing is in Gwinnett, all of our little towns have kind of created their own personalities. So when they come and they're exploring Duluth, Suwanee, and Norcross. I mean, a good example is if you go to Norcross, their entire downtown district, their entire neighborhoods that surround their downtown district where the restaurants and the shops are, it's a National Register of Historic Places district. So that kind of draws a particular type of, you know, person who mm-hmm. wants that kind of ambiance. Whereas Suwanee, it's a town that's sort of created on its own. There wasn't anything there. So they've built beautiful new homes and townhomes, and they built their downtown, and they've got sort of more of an edgy, modern, contemporary, art-driven aesthetic. So there's kind of different personalities for whatever people are looking for. But overall, I mean, the thing that we hear time and time again that's driving people to even look here is the school system.
Well, go a little bit deeper on the school system, because you're right. Any family that's moving from anywhere to Gwinnett, that's mm-hmm. the first question they're going to ask more than likely. Give us a little mm-hmm. more detail on the school system.
Well, a lot of people have heard about the Gwinnett County Public School System, and they're obviously sort of the big guy in the room. They're the largest school system in the state of Georgia, and they're like the 14th largest in the nation.
Oh, wow.
And usually largest doesn't always mean best, but in Gwinnett County's situation, it does. In 2010, they won the Broad Prize for the best urban school district in the nation, and they're consistently known as one of the best school districts. But it really, it's not even just about the public school systems. There, if your preference is private schools, you know, Wesleyan School is in Gwinnett, Greater Atlanta Christian School's in Gwinnett, Hebron Christian Academy. There's such a diverse ability of people to make a choice for their kids for education. And then even our collegiate system, in the paper yesterday, Georgia Gwinnett College was named as the number 5 Southern college by U.S. News and World Report, and they opened 7 years ago. So it's kind of amazing the growth that the education system is making in Gwinnett.
Holy cow, I didn't realize it was even 7 years old. It doesn't seem like that long. Yeah. Wow, and they're number 5
Number
nationally?
5. Yeah, they started off with, I think, a graduating mm-hmm. class of something like 13 or 14 people, their first graduating class. Now they have like 9,000 students.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, they've done a great job.
So from your perspective, how does the local real estate market look in Gwinnett?
You know, it's really improving. My friend and my colleague, Tim Herr, who's a pretty well-known real estate agent in Gwinnett, was talking about it the other day at a meeting. And he said, you know, our sale prices are up, our foreclosures are down, the median time on the market has gone down. So everything's going in the right direction. You know, the thing about Gwinnett is it's a huge county with a lot of new home developments because so much of our land was undeveloped for a long time. So it probably will take us a little bit longer to recover, but all the signs are pointed in the right direction.
Well, I want to go back to folks that are already in Gwinnett. I mean, and it's fall and it's time. The summer heat is kind of behind us. What kind of events are upcoming here in the next couple of months?
Well, October is always a great month for events. The weather is, you know, usually just awesome. And some of our favorite events go on in October. Some of the ones that we'll plan on being at, the Swanee Wine Fest, which is a new wine festival that'll be in downtown Swanee. Downtown Norcross is having an art festival that is a juried art festival that's one of the top ones in the nation. We've got two professional sports teams, the Gwinnett Braves. They'll be wrapping up their season in October, hopefully going and moving on to further playoff games. And then the Gwinnett Gladiators, who are a hockey team, they'll be kicking off their season in October. So we've got kind of year-round sports. So there's a lot of good stuff going on fall and winter. And we have a lot of cultural events. The Aurora Theater that a lot of people know about, it's our professional theater in downtown Lawrenceville. They actually just won, or not won, they were nominated for 22 Susie Awards, which is second only to the Alliance Theater.
Well, that's pretty good stuff. Lisa, yeah. I hate to say it, we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and where can they learn more about Explore Gwinnett?
The best way to learn more about us, you can visit our website, which is exploregwinnett.org. If they want just to know what's going on in Gwinnett, if they live there or if they're coming there to visit, we have a free app that they can download on the iPhone or Google Play stores. It's Gwinnett Events. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, also at Gwinnett Events. And if anybody had a question, my email is lisa@exploregwinnett.org.
Lisa Anders, the Executive Director of Explore Gwinnett, Gwinnett County's Tourism Agency. It was great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And appreciate your fine service to all those Gwinnetians.
Thanks.
All right. That wraps this week's broadcast. Check us out by visiting AtlantaRealEstateForum.com or by subscribing to the show on iTunes. If you enjoyed today's broadcast, we'd sure appreciate a customer rating and review. So on behalf of today's guests, Jennifer Crosby, Lisa Anders, show producer Delaney Langston, my co-hosts Carol Morgan and Todd Youngblood, I am Todd Schnick. We'll see you next week on the Atlanta Real Estate Forum Radio Show.